Please take your Bibles again and turn to Acts chapter 11. And I'm going to read Acts 11, starting at verse 19 and going through verse 23. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Amen. Well, let's once again look to God and ask for His help in prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word and ask that You would make Your word our food this night. Thank You for the good confession that was made by Victor and Jessica. And now bless the word of God as well to all of our hearts. Father, bring some to conviction of sin and a determination this day to begin to follow the Lord Jesus in repentance and faith. And encourage these two who have made a good confession this night, and encourage all of us who have made that confession and are on our way to the heavenly city. May we all continue with the Lord with purpose of heart. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. Over the last week and a half or so was the sporting event known as the World Series, so I've had baseball on my mind. I didn't ask Jessica or Victor if they were baseball fans, but I think this will make sense to them regardless. Probably Jessica is living in the Smith home. There were two Major League Baseball players who had outstanding careers. One of them was named Bobby Bonds. He hit 762 home runs during the course of his career, 48 more home runs than Babe Ruth, 7 more than the previous home run king, Hank Aaron. The other one was named Pete Rose. He had over 4,200 hits during his career, singles, doubles, triples, or home runs, 65 more than the next closest, Ty Cobb, who played baseball around 100 years ago, and almost 500 more than the next leader in hits over his career, Hank Aaron. Neither of those two players made it into baseball's Hall of Fame, prolific as their careers were, even though if you just looked at their statistics, they were virtual shoo-ins for the Hall of Fame. Both of them began extremely well and, in a sense, finished their careers well, but both of them made very foolish mistakes. Bobby Bonds used performance-enhancing drugs, which were illegal. They might have even been illegal in the eyes of the law, but they were definitely illegal in the eyes of Major League Baseball. Pete Rose gambled on games that he was involved in. when you are baptized, it's a little bit like a player, a baseball player, who is early in his career. By believing in Christ and getting baptized, we can say, you have begun well. But to begin well is not necessarily to end well. In our text, Barnabas, one of the co-laborers with the Apostle Paul, was addressing a bunch of new Christians in the Gentile city of Antioch in the first century. And he was essentially encouraging them that having begun well, they needed to finish well. The words of that last verse that I read are, when he came, that is to Antioch, and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. What might have happened with Barry Bonds if on the day he first began to use performance-enhancing drugs, someone had strongly warned him not to do it? What if Pete Rose had confided in a friend that he was about to throw a baseball game, that is, do something in it to make sure the other team would win the game so that he could reap a financial profit, and the friend had convinced him not to do it? They may very well have finished well. Tonight, I want to encourage you two, Victor and Jessica, and every Christian here, to do what it takes to finish well. I'll follow the example of Barnabas as he exhorted the young believers in Antioch, and take his words in, or the words that describe his words in the last part of verse 23, where it says, he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. And I just want to look at it under two headings. The first one is Barnabas's part, and the second one, the new believer's part. First of all, Barnabas's part is found in one word there in verse 23, where it says, he encouraged them. He encouraged them all. The word encourage is the word parakaleo. It's translated in different ways in the New Testament, sometimes encourage, sometimes exhort, sometimes comfort. Those different translations reflect the different shades of meaning that there are in this word. Sometimes the lexicon says the element of authority is found in this word. It might be translated exhort or urge, especially if you think of it when apostles are making exhortations to God's people. They're God's messengers. They come with a great degree of authority. They're the Lord's heralds. They're telling people what God himself wants them to hear and what he wants them to do. Another element in this word, parakaleo, is the element of relief of sorrow or distress. It can be translated comfort or cheer up or encourage. Think of the way that this word, along with the cognate noun, the related noun, are used several times at the beginning of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and verse 3 and 4 especially. It talks about the God of all comfort, comforting our hearts. That's the word. Or also another shade of meaning is an emphasis on the element of urgency. It can mean to earnestly ask something or implore people to do something or beg them to do something. It's the word used in over in chapter, well, let's look at it, Acts chapter 16 and verse 9, when Paul has this dream or this vision, and it says that a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him. That's the word. Parakaleo. Pled with him. Besought him. Stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. There's this element of urgency. There's a great need that we have help. Would you please come over and help us? And you can see how in a text like ours, where it says he encouraged them, or we could translate exhorted them or urged them, that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. You can see how in a text like this, each of these elements would have a place. And perhaps this last is especially prominent, this element of urgency. You've begun well. You've begun to follow the Lord. Now, make sure you continue well. Make sure you finish well. He encouraged them that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. There's Barnabas' part. He encouraged them, or he exhorted them. He urged them. Now, let's notice, and this is the main focus we have, the new believers' part. What is their part? Well, we have the what, that is continuation, and then we have the how, determination. So first of all, the new believers' part, the what, continuation. The Greek word is prosmeno. It means remain with, continue with, could be translated remain loyal to. Continue with the Lord. You should continue with the Lord. You've begun to follow Him. You've repented of your sins. You've put your faith in Him. And now tonight you've made this good public profession in the front of all these witnesses by being baptized and saying, I am following the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now what you need to do is continue with Him for the rest of your days, however long your life may be. Could be as short as 24 hours from now the Lord could take you or me or any of us. Could be 50 years or more. However long it is, though, you ought to continue with the Lord. You should persevere in the faith. I've quoted this chorus before during baptismal services. I think it fits well with it. It goes, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I hope that is what you are determined to do. And that's what Barnabas is telling the saints in Antioch here, that is what they should do. They should follow the Lord and never turn back. We sang in one of our hymns this evening, here it is, the second stanza of one of the hymns we sang, that long as life itself shall last, ourselves to Christ we yield, nor from His cause will we depart or ever quit the field. Having begun, don't ever quit the field. Don't ever turn back. That's what Barnabas was saying. This is not an end, being baptized. You don't think, okay, now I can coast. I'm part of the church. It's not easy to get into this church, you might think, and I made it. No, it's not an end. Look at it as a beginning. Some people think that all is settled. All is well once they have professed faith in Christ. Maybe someone told them that. Maybe someone told you that. You've made a profession. Now you don't ever need to worry about anything. Your life is set in heaven forever. Don't ever worry about it. Don't be anxious about it. You've got it made. You prayed the sinner's prayer. Your name is written in the book of life. Well, if you truly believe, that's true. But Scripture never says anything like that to God's people. It says the kind of thing that Barnabas said here. Continue in the Lord with purpose of heart. As Jesus said in Luke 13:24, we are to strive to enter by the narrow way. Jesus says you must strive. The word in Greek is the word from which we get our English word, agonize. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25, Paul used that word, and he described a Christian as someone who is like an athlete competing for a prize. Think of an athlete competing for an Olympic gold medal. It's saying that you need to exert yourself. You need to exert some energy in the Christian life, kind of like an Olympic athlete does in his competition. You need to have concentration. You have to be contending for the crown, like the Apostle Paul says. I have run the race. Now there's laid up for me the crown. I've fought the good fight. There's a struggle. It demands full exertion of all of our spiritual, mental, and emotional powers. The number of people saved in the end is smaller than the number of people who begin in the Christian life. It's smaller than the number of people who profess to believe in Jesus. It's smaller than the number of people who are baptized. Those that are saved are the ones, according to Jesus, who strive. If you say you're a Christian, you need to persevere. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 10:22. He who perseveres to the end will be saved. So that's the new believer's part, the first part of it. The what? Continuation. You've begun well. Continue with the Lord. The second part for the new believer is this. It's the how. With determination. It says you are to continue in the Lord with purpose of heart. The word for purpose is the Greek word prothesis, which could be translated plan, purpose, design, resolve. It's used of God in a text like Romans 8:28, which says that God causes all things to work together for good according to His purpose. He has a plan. And this word, when it's used about God, especially has to do with God's purposes related to the salvation of His people. Think of the way it's used in Ephesians 1:11. God has this plan, and it's all about saving His people. The word is used of men, of human beings, with especially an emphasis on purpose in our hearts and resolve, or as I said, determination. We have to be determined to continue with the Lord. It's not just going to happen. You don't just say, well, I made a profession of faith. I repented of my sins. I was baptized. Obviously, God is in this. I don't need to think about it anymore. No. Barnabas says you do need to think about it. You need to have determination that you will persevere, that you will continue to the end. You have to have purpose. You have to have resolve. We can look at it this way regarding God when He has purposes. He planned the entire salvation of His people from beginning to end, every little part of it. And what happens in the course of our lives is He is determined to make it all happen. And He does. He carries out His plan to the end and He brings His people to glory. In your case, you should look at it this way. You want to make it to the end, then plan to do that. Like some people say, if you don't have a planned goal, you will achieve it. In other words, you will achieve nothing. And that's what Barnabas is saying the Christian life is like. You have to have purpose of heart if you're really going to continue in the Lord. You need to determine that you're going to get there. If you set your face toward heaven, you have to be determined you're going to get there or you're going to die trying. Be like Jesus, who it says in Luke 9:51, set His face toward Jerusalem. He knew He had to go there. It says in the old language, He set His face like flint. He had purpose. He had determination. That's what Barnabas is saying you should have as well. There are adversaries within and adversaries without. There is the flesh within, the lusts of the flesh. Outside of us, there's the world, which is constantly trying to drag us down, make us think like it thinks and not like God thinks. And there is the devil, who is going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's always sought to devour you. Now that you've made that good confession, he will seek to do it more. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Don't say, well, I know other professing Christians, and they're not all that serious about how they live. They don't seem to be all that concerned about staying away from sin. I guess I don't need to. No, Paul says, run in such a way that you may obtain the prize. He said about himself in Philippians 3, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There is purpose. There was resolve in the apostle's heart and mind. There was determination. That's what you should have as well. As coaches say in various sports to their teams, sometimes before the game starts, sometimes at halftime, they say, leave it all out on the floor, if it's basketball, or if it's football or something like that, or soccer. Leave it all out on the field. Give the maximum effort and give it till the final horn or the final gun sounds. With purpose of heart, continue with the Lord. I'll just close with some select exhortations for you, especially in light of your baptism and in light of your youth. You're not the only young people here, I know that. It's for all of us, as I said. There are young church members here. There are other professing believers who may not be church members yet, but who are young Christians. So these things are for all of us, even if you're old. Whether you're young at heart or not, if you're a Christian, however many days you have left, and the oldest of Christians among us could tell us, the fight never ends. Every one of us needs, with purpose of heart, to continue with the Lord. But here are my three select exhortations for this evening. Number one, remain true and faithful to Christ by adhering to His Word and to His Gospel. One of the things we're learning in the studies we have in the evenings, usually from Genesis chapters 1 and now 2 and following, are the way that our world is perverting the truth of God. That really much of the world has believed, or at least much of the what we could call the civilized world has believed for many centuries. And here, at a very rapid pace, it's getting unraveled in the Western world here in the 21st century in a big way. So I start out by saying, listen to the things that you hear from Pastor Carlson from those early chapters of Genesis about how this world got to be here and what human beings are, the image bearers of God, and that they were actually made male and female and no other way. And to suggest that there are other ways is a perversion of the truth. Adhere to God's Word. It's difficult in our day. As Jesus said, when lawlessness abounds, and it does abound in our day and age, the love of many will grow cold. In other words, the love of those who profess to be believers in Jesus Christ will grow cold. It'll die. And they'll fall off the vine. And even the love of people who profess faith in Christ and really do believe in Him, they will take hits as well in their faith and in their walk with God. And their love will, to one degree or another, grow cold. And how does that happen? It leads us to wrong thinking. We go to college and we're around a bunch of people who say, you know, God didn't just create Adam and Eve so they, boom, appeared out of nothing. Well, they didn't appear out of nothing. They came out of the ground. But God did make them just come out of the ground like that. But you hang around people who think that's ridiculous. Or people talk about the rights that we have. We're hearing about that all the time as we come up to an election. What do they mean by rights? The right to come to church unmolested? No. The rights I have over my body. So if God implants another little human being in there, I have the right to snuff it out if I want. And it's a terrible crashing din that happens in our ears. And we have pressure to think the same way as the world does. And they tell us things like, well, we believe in science, And you're on the wrong side of history. Well, maybe when the history is written, we'll find that out, but it hasn't been written yet. But if it is written and we're on the wrong side of it, brethren, Victor, Jessica, it won't matter. Because what matters is being on God's side in the day of judgment. Read God's Word, study it, meditate on it, hear it. Refuse to listen to the world's take on God's Word. Cherish God's Word. Hold it fast. Never depart from it. Secondly, remain true and faithful to Christ by fleeing youthful lusts. Those are the words of Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Flee youthful lusts. It doesn't mean that these are things that are only found in young people. But he's talking about things that are especially typical of young people. Follow a typical, I didn't say all, I hope not all, I hope the college students I'm speaking to, their lives are not characterized this way, but follow a typical worldly college student around on a weekend, you'll understand what youthful lusts are. You see foolish behavior, in all likelihood you see drunkenness, you see pride and vanity, perhaps impulsiveness and a hot temper. You see the pursuit of sensual pleasure, especially immorality. Now that doesn't mean that adults are not tempted to engage in youthful lusts and to follow them. Doesn't mean Christian adults are not tempted to engage in those things and that they never do. Even Christian pastors. In fact, Paul wrote this admonition to Timothy, whom he called his son in the faith, who was a man of God with a good reputation among God's people. And Paul felt the necessity to say to him, flee youthful lusts. And so, Victor, Jessica, every Christian here tonight, flee youthful lusts. Flee immoral conduct, whether it is on a flat screen in front of your face or it's in actual fornication. Flee from it. And flee from every other form of wickedness. If you've identified with Christ and you really believe you're His child, then follow Him like one of His. Continue with purpose of heart with the Lord. Thirdly and finally, remain true and faithful to Christ by abiding in Christ. That's what it says in John 15:4. Jesus' words are, abide in me and I in you. Abide in Christ. Never depart from Him. He died for us. We're saved through union with Him. He constantly intercedes for us. That's your Savior. Never depart from Him. Don't let yourself stray from Him. Don't let yourself wander from Him. In our verse, Acts 11:23, the King James Version and the American Standard Version translate it this way, that Barnabas exhorted them to cleave unto the Lord. It's an older word, but it's still in our dictionaries. I like it. It reminds me of the King James Version at Genesis 2:24, that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. The dictionary definition of cleave is to adhere, to cling to be faithful to. And it goes on in the dictionary and says it implies a very close, firm attachment. And then they quote from the New King James Version of Ruth chapter 1. Ruth cleaved unto Naomi. Let me read that little section in Ruth 1. It says, then they lifted up their voices. This is Ruth and her sister Orpah. And they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clung to her. New King James. King James Version. She clave to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, "Do not entreat me to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also." In other words, may He curse me if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. "Let it be that should anyone ever aim to turn you, Jessica, or you, Victor, away from your Savior, that you will be so determined to stick to Him that they will just stop speaking to you and give up." If you are determined to live up to the good confession that you have made tonight, your path in this world might become extremely lonely at times. But that path is never truly a lonely one. Because Jesus once said, "If you keep my commandments, I will come to you, and my Father will come to you, and we will make our home with you." You've known what it is for God to be dwelling in your hearts. Cleave to Him, and you will know that experience more and more with every passing day of your life. Press on. He said, or Paul said, or whoever wrote Hebrews 13 said, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He will never leave you, and He will never forsake you. And less significantly, but not insignificant, you have the people of God with you as well to encourage you to press on. It's not as good as having the Lord Jesus walking with you every day, but it's good for you. Remember when Jesus' mother and brothers came and they wanted to see Him? And Jesus' disciples said, "Your mother and your brothers are here. They want to talk to you." And Jesus just stood in front of the people that He was speaking to and He said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, the people who believe in me." I do not think I can overstate the wisdom, the blessing, and the benefits of joining the Church of Jesus Christ as you are doing today. It's a wonderful thing. It's good for you. It's the best thing you can be doing. But I would be overstating it if I said to you, now that you're in Christ Church, you're safe. Now that you're members of Trinity Baptist Church, you're home free. No more worries. No, that's not true. The church is only a means that God uses to save His people. It is Christ alone who can keep you. Thank God for a faithful church, but cleave to the Lord. May God help us to help one another to cleave to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. Help us to follow it. Help us to take these words to heart. Help us to cleave to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for the reminder that no one ever cleaves to Him, but that He cleaves to them. And He will never let go, and no one can snatch us out of Your hand. Encourage our hearts as we think about these things. Help Victor and Jessica that having made the good confession, they will continue with the Lord for all of their days. Help every one of us to press on. Help us, Father, to repent of the way that we've grown careless or cold or heartless in our walk with You. Bring us to genuine repentance, even as we sit at the table tonight and take these emblems of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, of His body and of His blood, and work in our hearts. Work in the hearts of unbelievers. Help them, Father, to believe what the Word says. They may not think, that there's any sense in following Jesus Christ, the carpenter from Nazareth, 2,000 years ago, but help them to believe the truth of the things they've heard this night, and help them to believe also what Scripture says. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And let them turn and follow Jesus themselves. And we ask all these things in His name. Amen.